Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this episode, we look at the undervalued film career of Susan George. I hope you enjoy the show. Many people would dismiss Susan George as an actress, saying that her obvious sex appeal negated any dramatic value she could add to a film. I beg to differ. She's created a body of work which any actor would be lucky to have in their resume. Directors must agree with me, as Sam Peckinpah, Richard Fleischer, Peter Collinson, and Terence Young all cast her in films they made, and she didn't let them down. Let's look at my pick from her career. We'd best begin with probably her most well-known role in Sam Peckinpah's Straw Dogs, playing Dustin Hoffman's wife in one of Peckinpah's most chilling films. It's about an American astrophysicist who comes to live in England with his English wife, to escape the violence in America. Unfortunately, the script didn't stray far from the stereotypes portrayed: the geeky American, the far too attractive wife, and the xenophobic locals provide a good setup, but it's never developed as far as it could have been. Apparently, Peckinpah tried to get Harold Pinter involved in the writing process, but unfortunately, Pinter refused because of the subject matter. This film was Peckinpah's first non-Western and his first film shot out of the USA, so he may have been anxious to get it made quickly. Hoffman only took the part for the money. When it came to shooting the rape scene, Peckinpah told Susan she would be naked and attacked by two men. I quote, "One is going to have sex with you and the other is going to bugger you." She had to have this explained to her. To her credit, she refused to shoot the scene and didn't relent until Peckinpah backed down. It still raised eyebrows when the film came out. Although relatively unknown in 1971, Susan had made a name for herself in British cinema during the 60s. She'd been appearing in ads since she was 5 years old, so was no stranger to the camera. Apparently, she deliberately failed her 11-plus exam to avoid going to a grammar school. This way, she could pursue her childhood ambition to act. She appeared in two Children's Film Foundation films and was then spotted by Ken Russell, who put her in his film Billion Dollar Brain. Her breakthrough role came in Peter Collinson's Up the Junction, a swinging 60s film about the harsh realities of living in London. Susie Kendall plays the upper-class bored girl from Chelsea who wants to slum it in Battersea, working in a factory. Susan shines in her role. That same year, 1968, she starred with Michael York in The Strange Affair, about a rookie policeman who gets involved with the daughter of a rich bohemian couple, whilst at the same time locking horns with Jeremy Kemp, a detective obsessed with a career criminal. It's a well-handled film and very engaging throughout, and based on a novel by an ex-policeman. The Looking Glass War followed in 1970, based on a John le Carré novel about a Polish defector who's sent to East Germany to verify missile site locations. This was Anthony Hopkins' breakout role, and Susan plays the English girlfriend of the Polish defector, played by Christopher Jones. I thought Jones does a decent job of the recruited Polishman, with no real desire to do what he has to do to avoid being sent back home. The film has a certain authenticity. It's cold, ruthless, and exploitative, without any of the glamour that the Bond films had created a few years earlier. So well worth watching. The same year, Susan was in Spring and Port Wine, about a family in Bolton making ends meet. James Mason and Diana Coupland play the parents to perfection, and Susan's siblings are Hannah Gordon, Rodney Bewes of the Likely Lads fame, and Len Jones. It's by turns bitter and sweet, and there's a fair amount of humour too. This is a timeless film and truly a British classic. Peter Collinson scored again with Susan with Fright, a groundbreaking British slasher movie from 1971, with Susan playing the babysitter who doesn't know that the former husband of the child's mother is a deliciously insane Ian Bannon. and he's just escaped from the mental institution. Susan makes the most of the terror and the threat outside in the dark, and you can see why she was the first choice later on in her career with Straw Dogs. There's a great supporting cast here with Honor Blackman, George Cole, John Gregson in his final film, Dennis Waterman and Morris Kaufman. Collinson gave us The Italian Job a couple of years earlier, and this opening titles theme is reminiscent of what you'd hear in an Italian giallo movie. If you want to know more about giallo films, check out my interview with director Peter Weber, who's a big giallo fan. In 1972, Susan appeared opposite Thomas Millian in a pretty good spaghetti western called Sonny and Jed, directed by Sergio Corbucci. It's very enjoyable, and Thomas Millian gets up to his usual naughtiness as a bandit, who gets interested in Susan and takes her on as his partner in Love and Crime. It's an attractive film and there's a nice dose of humour throughout. Telly Savalas enters as a blind sheriff determined to capture them, and there's also a score by Ennio Morricone to boot. Thank you. In 1975, Susan made Mandingo, Richard Fleischer's no-holds-barred slavery movie that left me with a dropped jaw. It follows the arranged marriage of the son of a white cotton trader, played by James Mason. The son, Perry King, stole the movie for me. He's put together with Susan as his bride, but to her distaste, he prefers to sleep with one of the slaves. Meanwhile, Ken Norton has been bought to be trained as a bare-knuckle fighter. Fleischer shows his superior directing skill throughout and pulls off a near masterpiece. All the leads turn in fabulous performances. Anyone who's a fan of Tarantino's Django Unchained will love this one. It must be one of his favourite films.
I was born in this time to never be free. Born in this time to never be free. Waiting all my time for freedom. Now it's too far up ahead of me. Ain't all my feeling is all I ever own. Yeah, you know my feeling now is all I ever own. Well, you know, happiness is one thing I have never known. I don't understand. I don't know who to blame. Well, I don't understand. And I don't know who to blame. Yeah, you know, I just keep on living. I just keep on living the same. I am so tired, but I can't take my rest. So tired, but I can't take my rest. Yeah, you know my back is so worn, and my hands feel like stone. Dear Lord in heaven, can you hear my lonesome prayer? Oh, dear Lord in heaven. You hear my lonesome prayer? Oh, save me from trouble and despair. I was born in this time to never be free. Well, I was born in this time to never be free. Waiting all my time for freedom. Well, way up there ahead of me.
The same year as Mandingo, Susan made Out of Season, a brooding film about a mother played by Vanessa Redgrave and daughter who run a hotel in a remote part of the UK. Their world is disturbed by the arrival of a stranger played by Cliff Robertson, who turns out to be an old boyfriend of the mother. He stays a while and more is revealed. It's an obvious adaptation of a stage play, but Vanessa Redgrave is always good value for money, and her presence brings out the best in Robertson and Susan. It was well received at film festivals, but obviously wasn't commercial enough to be a box office hit.
Thank you.
Venom, co-directed by Tobe Hooper in 1981, is an entertaining film shot in London. Susan plays the maid against Oliver Reed's chauffeur in the house of a rich American couple. Oliver Reed has teamed up with Klaus Kinski playing a German terrorist, which he does so well, and they plan to kidnap the son whilst the couple are away on a romantic weekend. Unfortunately for them, Sterling Hayden, the boy's grandfather, is staying with them. He's an explorer and promises the boy a pet snake as he's obsessed with animals. It all goes terribly wrong when the boy is given a black mamba by mistake at the pet shop. Nicole Williamson makes a great police inspector in charge of the case, and Sarah Miles makes an appearance as a snake expert. It's all great fun as the kidnappers run around the house during a siege, trying to avoid being bitten by the snake. Tobe Hooper left the project abruptly and Piers Haggard took over as director at short notice and replaced all of Hooper's footage. There was a lot of ill feeling amongst the cast whilst filming took place, but in some ways it's added to the tension. Kinski and Reed were especially antagonistic to each other, and it works well on screen. The final film of Susan George I'd like to mention is called The Jigsaw Man from 1983, directed by Terence Young, of early Bond films fame. It's a spy thriller starring Michael Caine as an MI5 defector who has his appearance altered in Russia and is sent back to Britain to retrieve secret documents. Laurence Olivier co-stars as Caine's former boss, and Susan plays his daughter. Robert Powell plays an MI5 man in a role that Robert Shaw was due to play up until his death. Charles Grey is exquisite in his every scene. The production ran out of money and had to be cut down to be completed, and it feels like it's wrapped up too hastily when you watch it. It's a shame, as the first half really works well. There's only you and I, looking through the eyes of love. This time there's no goodbye, memories are not enough.
to see the light where shadows end. You understand, as feeling show, the first to see, the last to know. There's only you and I looking through the eyes of love. This time there's no goodbye. Memories are not enough. Search only just to find your dream.
I hope you'll enjoy this choice of Susan George films. Some of them are quite a surprise. I'll leave you with a duet she sang with Jack Jones called That's the Way I've Always Heard It Should Be. It's a Carly Simon song that was released as a single in 1972 but didn't break into the charts. But it shows she's got a good voice.
But I say it's time we moved in together and raised a family of our own, you and me. That's the way I've always heard it should be. Will you marry me?
My father sits at night with no on. His cigarette glows in the dark. The living room is still. I walk by, no remark. I tiptoe past the master bed.
That's the way I've always whispered it should be. Will you marry me? Will marry.
You say that we can keep our love alive, babe. All I know is what I see. Sail